16-year-old in grade 11. Leanna, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I am excellent. So, was this your first world championship?
It was.
So, now you've been competing since you were 5 years of age. Can you talk about going on the world stage and just how much different it was for you?
Mm-hmm. So, yes, I've been competing since I was five, which is usually about like five competitions a year. And they're obviously usually a lot smaller, a lot less publicized. And the fellow competitors, usually we have about three, four studios. Competing against 25 other nations was a huge difference. The stage itself was so much better to dance on. It was a bigger, better venue, which was awesome. And it was nice to be able to see other nations and be able to witness like their styles of dance, their types of training.
Now, when you say the stage was better to dance on, in what sense?
Well, okay, so it was in an arena, so it was concrete floor, but they put down a mat for us, so it was slightly sprung, and it was a flooring called what we call Marley, okay, which is like the absolute perfect type of turning floor.
Okay.
And then it was on a flat, flat surface, which is really rare to find in a competition setting. And yeah, it was awesome.
So you're telling me usually when you're competing, the floor isn't always flat?
You'd be surprised how bad some of the stages are.
Really? Now, you do jazz, and what else did you participate in at the World Championships?
We took three teams. We took a ballet team, a modern team, and a jazz team. I was on all three. And we did large and small groups for all three, as well as soloists from all three.
Okay. Now, I know you were you finished second place in the adult jazz duo with Tori Ladd. You took home, I think, fifth place in the jazz solo. And then as your group, you finished in first place, did you not?
Yes, we did. In total, I believe Team Canada came home with 24 gold medals, I believe it was.
Oh, wow. Now, yeah, for you to compete at this stage, your older sister, from what I understand, has a dance scholarship. Is it the University of Arizona?
Yes, it is.
University of Arizona. So is that kind of what you're shooting for? And because I didn't even know the dance scholarships were something a lot of Canadians get.
Yeah, actually, it's much more of an American thing. That's why she's in America. But it's rare to be able to be on a dance scholarship. That's why it's so coveted and so competitive to get one, which is why it's super nice to be able to compete on a world setting, because it'll add to my resume so that hopefully I'll be able to go to school on a scholarship.
And like, I've watched a few, and pardon my ignorance when it comes to dance, my young niece, I've seen her a few times, but when I watch a few dance movies and, you know, you see these where they got to do a solo thing where they're trying to get into the big dance studio. When it comes, that's really how it's going to be for someone on a dance scholarship? Or do you send in videos of your competitions? Like, how do you earn a dance scholarship?
Both. Lots of schools have in-person auditions. But many of them have pre-screening where you have to send in a video audition first before you're invited to come to the school. And then from there, sometimes they have additional auditions for scholarships. But most schools have a dance program, and that's why they have dance scholarships.
Leanna Forrest joins us. She was just back from the World Dance Championships in Wetzlar, Germany, taking home a gold, a silver, and a fifth place. And then I know you won in a lot of other smaller venues as well. Now, Leanna, when you're becoming a world champion dancer, what's your training schedule like on a week-to-week basis?
Well, it changes depending on rehearsals, but I go anywhere from 20 to 40 on my busiest weeks. Sometimes I'll be at the studio for 20 hours in one weekend.
What?
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy.
20 hours. So you're getting there at like 8 in the morning on Saturday till 6 and 8 in the morning till 6 on Sunday?
Yeah, I've been there from like 9 to 10 usually on Saturdays.
Now, how can you – you must take a break in between then. Like, there must be a lot of technical stuff you're doing, because physically your body would just give out if you're training for 10 hours a day, wouldn't it?
Yes, it does. But yeah, we do have, like, within that, sometimes we have fittings. Sometimes it's just cleaning rehearsals, which isn't that strenuous.
Okay.
But yeah.
Because you have to have a real desire and a passion to give up that much time. Like, you're in high school, you're probably sacrificing a lot of outing events with your friends because you've got to be training and sleeping.
Oh, yeah.
How have you ever thought about, okay, you know what, maybe I just want to take some time off? Like, when's the downtime for a dancer?
That's actually an interesting question. It's difficult because during the beginning of the year, I mean, you have stuff like this, like world championship, bigger stuff. And then when it gets into the spring, that's when our normal competitions are. And then over the summer are our intensives, where we like go to different places and train abroad and do lots of different other stuff. So really, like, our season has, like, I mean, technically it's competition season, but it is full year round. And so, like, your determination and your dedication really has to be strong to be able to, like, push through all year.
Now, at the World Dance Championships, is it predominantly females? How many boys are in this?
It was actually, that was one of my favorite parts about going to the World Championships, because we got to experience so many strong male dancers.
Okay.
There was lots of beautiful ballet dancers that we got to witness. But yeah, it was, obviously there's always more females than men. But there was probably, I would say, 50 in the numbers I witnessed.
Okay. Leanna Force joins us fresh off of the Dance World Championships. Now, I know you've I talked to you before this, that you're considering modern dance or modern theater, correct? Is that right?
Yes.
So what does that entail, and how do you transfer from ballet and jazz into that?
So a lot of my training comes from ballet and jazz, which is like the technical like basis. And musical theater is dance as well as singing and acting. But to be able to do musical theater, you obviously have to have training in each individual style. So that's kind of where my dance training comes from. But there's a lot more jobs when it comes to musical theater. So hopefully that's where I'm going to end up if everything goes as planned.
So you, like, it's obviously the dedication for dance is like a lot of athletes. And I would argue, when you're telling me your time constraints, it seems like it's even more so. So you look to go to school and it opens up the doors because there's more job opportunities in modern theater now. Is that the reason why you would look to go that way rather than just focus on ballet or jazz specific?
Yes. It's also just that there's different fields within acting, singing, and dancing versus just dance, which can really mostly be limited to dancing in a company.
Now, do you have some acting skills? Do you take drama? How's that work?
I do. Right now I'm in a show in Sherwood Park. I'm Anne in Anne of Green Gables.
Oh, I love Anne of Green Gables.
Yeah, come see.
Oh, nice. Man, it's because my younger sister and mom, they used to watch that all the time when I was a kid. So I vividly remember Anne of Green Gables. So you're dancing, then how do you fit in time to learn your lines and get into acting?
Well, it's definitely difficult, but it's awesome because my dance director for my studio is also my choreographer for my shows. So she helps me work around my schedules and stuff, which is really helpful.
Now, one other one for you, Leanna. I look at dance and I see, the dancers, they're up. Like, to me, ankle injuries and toe injuries and feet injuries have to be rather prevalent. What do you do to what type of training as far as, health stuff are you doing to ensure that your body maintains all this practice time?
Well, if you talk to any competitive dancer, they'll tell you that rolling and stretching, even when they're not dancing, is a big must. And even like they start you when you're super young, right before you start dancing in point shoes, which is those dancers that dance on their toes. Lots of times you go through years of classes where it's just strengthening classes. So it's like strengthening point or a pre-point class, which helps a lot. But other than that, it's really just taking care of your body and knowing like when to stop, when to roll out, when to stretch, when to get medical attention.
And one last one for you, Lana. From what I understand, you're looking to raise money to help build a community center in Haiti for underprivileged teenage girls. You have a fundraising dinner called She Creates Change. When is it and how do people get involved?
December 1st. And to get involved, if you Google She Creates Change, our event will come up and you will be able to come and buy tickets and participate in the silent auction.
And when is that?
December 1st.
And where is it at?
The Arts Barns, Westbury Theater.
Arts Barns. So not only are you helping in a fundraiser, you're taking acting classes, you're a world champion dancer. I'm assuming you're still in high school. What school you go to?
Mother Margaret Mary.
And are you an honor student?
I am.
Shocking. Shocking. Yeah, you sound very dedicated, Leanna. I really appreciate your time. Inspiring stuff. And are you hoping to go back to the World Championships next year?
Yes, next year's in Poland. Let's hope so.
Oof, nice. How's Canada looking for next year?
We're looking super strong.
Super strong. Well, best of luck at the World Championships. Best of luck with Anne of Green Gables. And, of course, She Creates Change. Fantastic stuff. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you so much.